Let's pray. Father, we are here in your presence humbly. Even though we may have anxieties, help us be good ambassadors of this local church. Help us be the voice of reason to those that we have communication with. Amen. Today we're going to wrap it up as we get really personal. And you'll see the last phrase over there is on our wall is, why not me? Why can't you and I each personally be a major part of what happens in this local church? I want to start today by asking, why do so many people do that? And I know I'm speaking to a subset of people that serve. I'm looking at a lot of people in here that serve. So this is a little different than a larger congregation like Cornerstone where there's a lot of hangers-on. I don't see a lot of hangers-on in here, so I'm going to preface this sermon by saying that. But I still want you to explore your own heart as to how what you could. But let's just say what some people think it's weird that someone would volunteer at church. I know that you don't think that, but some people think it's weird that that would happen. Why do people get here early to greet you in the parking lot or in the lobby? Why do people make coffee and put out snacks every Sunday? Why do musicians practice all week? I mean, this is a little smidgen of what they do. The rest of it that you don't see is when they rehearse outside of here, when they get here before most of us are awake on Sunday. And for my case, I think that was true today. They do it because they understand something very profound that I want you to share with. I want to share with the rest of you today. So my goal is clear today, to inspire you to ask the question, why not me? Why wouldn't I invest time and energy at the church? And again, let me parenthetically say, if you are, maybe there's another area that you're not using your gifts in, and we'll get to that in a second. The answer is found in my favorite 9 verses describing the church in the entire Bible. What we are about to read forever changed my life as a pastor. As we study them, we see that there are really 3 parts to it, and we are invited into and the first one is this. Pursue unity. We just sang about it, didn't we? Our fulfillment in life starts with pursuing oneness and helping to make things better, not running from tension when problems come up. I've often said, if this is your church family, then be all in. Whatever congregation I'm in front of, just stay, be here, participate. When things get rough, work through them. Help improve it when things get messed up. Because we're human beings, and you're not going to agree with everything that your subset's doing. But don't just complain, and don't just gossip, and don't say it's someone else's problem. That's what the world does. So if it's up to us to make it better. It's up to us to fix it. That's what a family does. Now, so clearly the Apostle Paul's message to the church, he starts by saying, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. I quite often say, I'm reminded that what we read of Paul in these things are letters. These are letters that would have been read to a group of people. And if I just read that to you without you've seen it, I don't think you'd get all the impact of it, right? You had to read it and reread it. Unity, peace, one body, one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It's so rich in such a short period of time. And so I want to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit as we are learning how to listen to each other and respect one another as we grow in Christ together, even in our differences. We're going to dive deeper into this concept in fresh ways during our next series that starts next week. You're not going to want to miss that. I realize now I need to talk to Sue and Mary about next week starting series. It's a long one, so yeah, we're going to try to make it easy for them. That's not possible. So anyway, let's go. But next week we'll talk. It's going to be an amazing series, and I know you'll be blessed by it. So let's get to the main event today. So after we pursue unity, then we need to embrace our gifts. The very next verse, Paul gives us such a wonderful, vital clue to a full and meaningful life. This is following just on the tail end of what I just read you. Christ has given each one of us a special gift through his generosity. That's why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Do you see that? When you follow Christ with your life, he gives you spiritual gifts. Paul is saying Christ gave you unique giftings. Think about that. You have divine abilities. That's astounding. Think about how there are just things that come naturally to you, things that you didn't ever really learn. Embrace them. Some of you think mathematically or systematically. You can do complex math in your head, or you can see an org chart or a spreadsheet, and you can decipher it with ease. It's just sort of like a second nature to you. While others looking at the same data are just reading gibberish or can't even add or subtract to save their lives. Others of you understand food chemistry and what makes it a meal great. That's why those cooking shows are so, it's like watching an artist work, isn't it? They know, they have instincts. You can tell if more nutmeg is needed. See, that's the extent of my knowledge of cooking. But that's not true. I make a mean, hot, and sour soup. Anyway, others can draw and create. My best friend growing up was an incredible artist. We would draw together sometimes, because that's what he did. So I thought, well, I'll do it with him. I drew stick figures, and he was shading and drawing cartoon characters that leapt off the page. It was astounding. He's now a graphic artist, and I avoid drawing anything. Don't invite me to Pictionary unless you want to laugh very hard. You get my point. In fact, I look at this list as an example of the amazing variety of intelligences that are out there. Naturalist, relational, musical, logical, mathematical, bodily, kinesthetic, spatial, linguistic, emotional, existential. And I think you can, if you just look at that list and think of yourself, but think of other people. Think of, Simone Biles with bodily kinesthetic. That's a natural, right? That's natural. She's practiced to get there, but some people are very stable emotionally. You know the person you can go to that's not going to overreact or underreact. So my dad was spatial and mechanical. He could visualize a woodworking project. I think you can identify with that. He could visualize what it was going to look like when he got done putting the pieces of wood together. So for years he tried to teach me, and it just didn't click. He said, get me 6-penny finish nails. I knew how to do that. I could run to the, and do that. That was it. Now pound the nail in straight. That's a different story. So I grew up feeling like a failure because I couldn't make things very easily. As I aged, I realized I have linguistic and relational intelligence. So I just know how to teach and explain things. The problem is my dad was good at that too. But that's another story for another day. But I hope the point is clear. You need to embrace your divine abilities. When you focus on where you are naturally gifted by God, you start to know what to spend time on and what to say no to. If you can sell stuff, sell. If you're good with money, do it well. If you're nurturing, nurture. Embrace how you are wired. As we said in a sermon a while ago, don't settle for comparisonitis. Live in your strengths. Invest your life in things that you are wired for. So, as we pursue unity and we embrace the unique gifts God places within us, then there's this other critical point, and that's you need to share your gifts. So we just saw that Christ gave each one of us specific giftings when we were created. Now watch this organizational structure for the church. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service. So that, always a big phrase in Paul's letters, the so that's, you need to know that now, right? That's why I cut the slide there. He gave himself to the apostles. So that what? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's the so that we're built up, that we reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Jesus and we become mature until we look like Christ, right? So, God gave the leaders of the church a job description to equip all the people of the church to serve so that the church is built up until what happens? Until we reach unity and become mature. Do you understand the significance of that? I'd love to find ways to help you find ways to use your divine ability, your giftings to help our church to experience unity and maturity. What that's saying is that Bible study is not the only way to mature. In fact, I'll go as far to say that your maturity hinges on your serving. In other words, if you don't engage in the body of Christ with your divine gifts or your abilities, you really won't grow to your full potential. Christian growth is not about being alone in your devotion time. Don't let me hear me say that that's discounting that. But your growth through quiet time is important, but so is sharing your gift with the rest of the people that you see around you. When you don't, we are lesser, and you are lesser than what you could be. That's why when we define disciple, we define it on one who is whole in Christ, because that's your whole being right there, isn't it? With your head, which is the study and the learning and the hearing of the word and the contemplation of the word, through your heart, which is your emotions and your love towards one another, with your hands, and that's your generosity with your time, your talent, your treasure. And lastly, with your feet, and that's the mission. That's the mission in the world, and that's the mission in your neighborhood. Your feet. So all are vital to your spiritual health. So let me say it more clearly. If you don't serve, you just can't grow into full maturity. Think of it this way. This may sound gross, but if you were to cut one of your fingers off, how would it look a year from now? Well, it would be shriveled, and some of you are gritting your teeth. I won't look over that way. It'd be disgusting. It wouldn't have any life in it, right? That's what Paul is getting at here. When you grow, are connected to the body, you grow and you develop in our oneness together. We all help one another. All that would be enough to answer the question, why not serve here? But Paul adds one more incredible concept. So Christ gave leaders the job of equipping the people of the church so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith, then the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we serve, not only do we become mature and unified, but we attain the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know what that means? When Jesus was on the earth in bodily form, he was fully God and fully man. That's a mystery. I don't care how long you've been on this earth, it's a mystery that your brain just can't grab. Our minds can't comprehend it as human beings. We are told here that if you want to see what Jesus looks like in his fullness today, look at the church. When we walk in unity as we serve one another and the world, we give the world a glimpse of God. Whoa! When the body behaves like the body, there's a deep connection with Christ. It really helps us feel fully alive. There's a wholeness that happens when we serve. Paul was so definitive about all of this that in the very next verse, he repeats himself. Paul does that on occasion. Why? To make sure that you get it, and I get it. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head. That is Christ. From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Wow. I already know the answer to this question, but do you want your one life to make a difference? Of course you do. I can think of no greater place to invest your unique giftings than within the church. If you're good at techie stuff, this is the commercial break here. If you're good at techie stuff, help us help you learn the sound system and the projector. Paid for by, yeah, that's it. That was. If you love hospitality, there are countless ways to use that gift. We have a brilliant team of hospitality people here. And they lose their gift and they're smiling every time. They're getting coffee ready for you, greeting you, or hugging you, or asking how your day was, or how your week was. As each part does its work, we support one another. We all grow together. We all express the fullness of Christ to each other and to the world. So what am I asking of you? It should be quite obvious. Serve with us here at Faith. And if you know somebody that's not here, if you are serving and you know somebody that's not here that could do that, say, hey, you know, you really are good at fill in the blank. It would really be helpful if you came and helped us do that. Just rather than come to church because you need to go to church. That's your way to explain to them that the body of Christ is a living organism. It's not just a place that sings on Sunday and listens to some guy talk on Sunday. It's an organism. It's an organism that's functioning. And that organism will become healthier with more people involved. And each person that does become involved will grow in wonderful ways as you use your gifts here. I know there's a lot of times where we avoid because I'm just not good enough or just not the time. I understand, but I hope it's not the case. I'm willing to bet some of you still aren't open to serving for those reasons, that I've tried to get involved and it didn't go well and no one really connected me or taught me to do very well or I just didn't connect with the people. Well, consider this. I've eaten at terrible restaurants before, but I didn't stop eating just because of a bad experience. If that's your story, would you be willing to give us another shot, right? Your engagement at faith is our top priority. Some of you may be simply be hurting and have nothing left to give, and I get that too. And I get that of your neighbors that you've tried to encourage to be involved. Some people are just empty. If that's their situation, your situation, please just rest and recover. This is a safe place to rest and heal as well. I want everyone to serve out of an overflow, not out of a scarcity, okay? So if that's the case, just receive and recover. But will you do me a favor? When you feel that prompting from the Spirit of God, will you step back in and serve? It'll help you in your spiritual journey. When I think of that I don't have the time, my only response to that is that I can't think of a better place to commit some of our limited time than to the body of Christ. So, and that's just not a pastor talking. I know that my time invested on a golf course is not nearly the same as my time invested in working a food truck. They're not the same. And I'm glad Mark wasn't here because he would have taken offense to that. When it comes down to the big picture of eternity, everything we invest our time in, our jobs, our body, our hobbies, our binged shows, our games, but the one thing that will last forever is the church. It is the way of experiencing God's kingdom now. I think sometime we need to talk about the kingdom of God because the disciples are very interested in that, weren't they? When is it going to happen? It's here now. And you go, what? Okay, but then you will come into the kingdom. So it's another one of the mysteries. The kingdom of God, you can experience that through service. I guarantee you. And as we experience unity, as we embrace our gifts, and as we share them with others, we experience the growth and the fullness of Jesus Christ together. And I can think of no more glorious thing than that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time today. Thank you for the reminder that we have others in this community, in this neighborhood, that need to hear this word, that need to remove themselves from the horrors of the world and take some respite here. Help us be good ambassadors of this local church. Help us be the voice of reason to those that we have communication with. Help us be a mirror image of your Son, Jesus Christ, so that we can live in the fullness of him day by day, year by year, until he comes again. In the name of the one who gives us life, Jesus Christ. Amen.